morning, everybody, and welcome to Seeking Salvation. My name is Sarah, and I am super excited to be here. We're going to start off our hour with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new week of Seeking Salvation. This week we are going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and that is purifying your life from materialism. And I'm going to go into why I think this is so important and the whole culture in the United States of buy, buy, buy. And I think that there are many, many Bible verses to support what I am saying. And I always look for that, right? When I pray and I meditate, I always look for scripture support to make sure I'm on the right track. And first, we are going to do the Ten Commandments and a worship song, and I will be back after that. 1. You shall have no other gods before me. 2. You shall not make idols. 3. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 5. Honor your father and mother. 6. You shall not murder. 7. You shall not commit adultery. 8. You shall not steal. 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And 10. You shall not covet. Welcome back, everybody, and I just want to shout out to J-Man on YouTube. That was the song that I played today. It's a free song for worship leaders or nonprofits called Worthy of Praise, and I think it's just beautiful. I love that so many people allow this music to be out there so that we don't have to spend money on this, because I have no money. I literally do this for no profit. And I am going to try to keep it that way as long as I have breath in my body. So let's get down to our topic today. And the topic today is purifying your life from materialism. Now, when it comes to this, there are very few things that I 100%, you know, sometimes I question my beliefs and have to pray about it. But when it comes to materialism, I am in my soul sure that this should not be a thing in people's lives. I think in order to be on the path of God, we must fully reject materialism. And there are a couple reasons I believe this. One, because I believe stuff clutters your mind. I think that as long as you are stuck in the desires of what you want, as opposed to following God, it can cause great, great issues. I think that the whole aspect of money and stuff, right? Because it isn't money, but you get it by using money, right? People that buy the latest iPhone, or they need all brand new stuff, or they want this or they want that. I think that in order to fully be on the path of God, that you have to fully reject materialism. And I don't say this as a judgment against anybody. It is not stuff or money that's evil. However, you cannot have two masters, right? That is a very famous quote in Matthew, and it is true. I feel like you either worship money or you worship God, and because one is going to always be more important. I've said before how I think desire is the building block of falling away from God, right? Like, I think it is the slippery slope that you fall down. Desire is the slippery slope that you go down and fall away from God, because desire is the root. I think desire is actually the root of all evil. I know they say it's just money, but the desire for anything can lead you into a place where you are not focusing on God. And I only know this because I've been there. The root of materialism is desire. Desire in any form leads to the absence of God, right? Because it's almost like the idol thing, right? Like, you want the iPhone, you need the iPhone, you have to have the iPhone. Or you want love, or you want money, or you want a friend or a girlfriend or anything that falls into that category. And that replaces God. And that's a problem. And we're teaching our children to do this, right? Because they want the latest and greatest. And I remember when I was growing up, and I couldn't have the latest and greatest of everything. I wanted Jordache jeans. That was the big thing when I was younger. And I really wanted them. And my parents just were not wealthy, and they could not afford it. And once I understood that in my life, I stopped wanting it so much. I will say that I've always had a relationship with God. I'm not sure it was always the healthiest relationship, but I've always talked to God. Now, do I believe that every rich person is going to hell or not going to heaven? No, I don't. However, I do believe that the pursuit of these luxuries of life, right, the yachts and the boats, and I think it clouds your judgment. I think it misleads you into a false sense of security, because the only security that we have is in God, right? It is not a sin to be rich, but it is complicated due to the accumulation of stuff, right? I believe that stuff clouds your environment. It keeps you blind to God. It keeps you unable to hear God in some cases. I do resist the material world now. I wasn't always good at it, but there are some things that I absolutely do that I believe help me. And I'm going to go over the things that these are kind of like the cornerstones of my life, and understand that nothing I say is ever absolute, right? Because the one thing I am always tuned into is the fact that you cannot be legalistic about God, because it's more about the Spirit of God than it is about any laws, right? Like, you have to have the Spirit of God. So number one, I never buy anything new anymore, with the exception of like batteries or cat litter liners, things like that. Obviously, I buy new. But I don't buy clothes or furniture new anymore. I just got to a point where I was accumulating so many clothes that I never wore, and it was obscene to me. I got rid of a lot of the clothes. I donated them to the poor. I've tried to donate things as I go, and I will never hopefully get to that point again where I just have massive amounts of clothes and shoes that are going unworn that people would really appreciate, right? Like, and to me, they're just stuff in my closet. And I encourage you that if you are that kind of person, if you have stuff in your closet and you know you're not wearing it, please give it to somebody. I mean, there's so many disasters going on in the world right now, and it's sad, and we just throw stuff away like it means nothing. Number two, if I do try to buy something new, I try to support small businesses. And I've kind of checked out of the big box businesses. I do buy from Amazon once in a while, and I never mean to try to say that I'm better than anybody because I do this. This is just what I do to declutter my life. It is not a knock or a judgment on anybody that does it, because, hey, you know, there may be people that can buy from Amazon and are totally connected to God. I am not questioning that. I am just going through what I have done to kind of declutter my life and stay close to God. Number three is my one exception. I do buy good food. I eat organic, and I eat as simple as I can. So the fewer the ingredients, the better. I do not like to buy processed food at all. I believe that God was warning us against that for a reason in the Old Testament, because it says now as in the days of Moses. And for me, that applies to everything. It's not just the eating and drinking. It is literally the food, the materials. He talks about the two blending fabrics and things like that. And I am slowly moving towards one ingredient clothing. Because I think there's things that we don't understand and don't know. And with the food, I am definitely on something, because the food right now is really bad for you. So I also fast on the Sabbath, and I like that to be as pure as possible. And I do fast in order to be closer to God. So if I am trying to be closer to God, I do not want anything processed in that time, right? Because it is as pure as I can be, being a completely faulty person. So number four, I turn off electronics during meditation and prayer. And sometimes I talk to God a lot, so I will talk to God all day long, right? I pray and pray and pray, and I often joke that he's probably tired of me by this point, because I just pray about everything. And I love that I can do that and not feel over-intrusive. I feel super connected to God because of that. But when I do my fast on the Sabbath and dedicated meditation, I do turn off all my electronics. And on the Sabbath, I lock up my electronics in my office. I don't lock the door, but I put them all in one room. I put all the electronics in one room, with the exception of my television. Everything goes in my office, because I do not want to be attached to that. I don't want to be attached to things. And the one thing I would say is, do not be attached to the things, including electronics, because everything is under God's dominion. Everything is of God, but it's not for God. Okay, so electronics are a helpful tool, but they also cause noise and interference, I believe, especially social media, with God. Number five, I stop buying from Amazon all the time and big box stores. I just talked about this a second ago. I buy necessities like litter liners and office supplies, but I do really try to focus on small businesses as opposed to big box businesses. But also, I'm just checking out of being a cog in the wheel of our destruction, right? I just don't want to be part of that. So I have checked out anything that is too big and seems corrupt, I don't want to be a part of. Number six, I completely forego places like Wawa or gas stations or fast food. I do not do any of that at all. First of all, the food is terrible for you. I don't think the food at Wawa is completely horrible, but I also don't like processed food, and they use a lot of processed food to make their food, like the bread and stuff, so I don't eat there. Number seven, I'm not perfect. I recognize that I have cravings and I want things sometimes that are not in my diet. And I'm not hard on myself when I want that. Sometimes I have Chick-fil-A. It's like once a year, but I just had that happen a few months ago. I really wanted Chick-fil-A, so I went and got it, and I'm not hard on myself. My thing with God is that I honestly believe that sins, everybody sins. Jesus died for our sins. I feel like there are more mistakes to be corrected than they are, you know, damnation and hellfire. So that's just what I believe. You can believe what you want, and I'm open to hearing that. But for me, it doesn't make me feel horrible because I'm human. Eight, once you cut yourself off from the pipeline, right? The big box stores, the materialism, the credit cards, I mean, the debt that everybody is in, you will start to despise the material world. And I could tell you this from experience. Once I got out of it, the whole Christmas mad rush and the, you know, need to buy hundreds of dollars worth of stuff for birthdays and all of that went away. In fact, I transformed because I now cannot stand that. I would rather make something for somebody than buy them something from a big box store. It's not the way I want to live. And like I said before, it's not a judgment. You can live any way you want to. This is just the way I live. I just came to the conclusion that buying was about control. The same way the government is, right? But you have to live within the government. And that's fine, but also check out of the rest of it. Check out of the division and the hate and the materialism. All of these things in this world that are meant to divide us and keep us off of God's path. Because it's optional, right? You don't have to buy everything. You don't. And nine, my other thing that I try to do is I do business in a fair way. I have a design business and a marketing business, and I don't charge what other people charge because one, I know how long it takes, and two, I don't think it's fair to charge people $1,000 to do a post, but to each their own. Proverbs 30 verse 8 says, keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Keep me neither in poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. And I love this quote because it is not only talking about all the things that are, you know, bad, like falsehoods and lies and poverty, like, but God will give you what you need. Sometimes what you need is not what you think you need. It's what you want, right? And that goes back to the desire thing. God will give you what you need. I used to have a saying about my son that I wanted to give him everything he needs and half of what he wants. And I have reviewed that since I've grown up, but it was a good standard to live by. He didn't get everything he wanted, and that caused many fights, but in the end, it was better for him, and he knows that now, by the way. And let me clarify something about being rich, and I have nothing against rich people. I think they have a part to play in the world, just like everybody else. And God did not say that it was impossible for rich people to go to heaven. It's just difficult, right? Because they have a harder time letting go of what they have. That was the reasoning for this statement. And I believe that. Jesus followed that up by saying, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Right? Like, he talked about the poor a lot. He talked about not having any possessions. I'm not sure when our country turned into the mass consumer thing that it did, but I don't know that it was the right call. And it just got out of control, I feel like. Now we have Temu that sells, like, junk. From what I understand, some of the stuff on there is okay. But do we need massive amounts of things that we don't really use? And I don't think that we do. Yeshua also states, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So there you go. I mean, those are two quotes that he said about putting your treasure in heaven, not on earth, right? And selling everything you own. I obviously have not sold everything I own, but I have simplified my life quite a bit. In fact, my living room, I always laugh that my house is empty because I bought a couch, and my couch was literally one of the last things I bought new. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to get a chair for the living room and I'm going to decorate. And I literally stopped. So now my living room is completely empty except for my couch and a rug on the floor. Because as soon as I got my new house, of course I started furnishing it. That's what we're trained to do. And it literally took a meditation with God to snap me out of that and say, I'm making the same mistakes that I made in my last house. I mean, yes, my house looked like Better Homes and Gardens, but it was full of stuff I didn't need. And when I moved out, I left 2 truckloads of donations and furniture, and it was awful. I've never felt so guilty in my life about the things that I have and other people don't. And it was really a wake-up call for me to stop living like that, to stop living like stuff was the reason I was alive. And it took a while, but I did get over it. And it does not mean that nobody rich can ever go to heaven. I believe that the whole crux of that statement is the richer you are, the more attached to things you become. I know very few rich people that could start over from scratch and be fine. One of the people I do know like that is my best friend, and I think he could be fine. I think if he lost everything, he would be fine starting over. But I do think in my heart that it's difficult for people. Therefore, the poorer you are, the better off you are. You have less attachment to stuff, or maybe more, and I don't know. I was pretty poor growing up and stable, but we were not rich by any stretch of imagination. We were more well off than some people, definitely, but not rich. My father was in the military, so I spent a lot of my time just wanting stuff, right? But on the other hand, like, we have free housing. We always had enough to eat. I think about that. It's funny because we, and I'm going to talk about this a little later, but we kind of ignore what we don't see. And that's a huge issue. Luke 6, 20 to 23 says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For they used to do the same thing to the prophets." And I love that verse anyway, but there's a lot in there, right? Like, blessed are the poor. And we hear that over and over and over again. And one of my favorite scenes in The Chosen was when Martha came in and poured, was it Martha? But she came in and poured the oil on Jesus's feet. And everybody was indignant about it. And he said, "You will always have the poor. The poor will always exist." And they do. Much of what Yeshua talked about was trusting God for what you need. This is a difficult thing. And let me tell you, I have been through the ringer on this, right? It was difficult for me. I would chase God while keeping one foot in the material world. And I would cling to my possessions while professing my love and trust for God. I would get worried when the mortgage needed paid and I didn't know how I was going to do that because my job cut my hours or whatever it is that happened, right? Like, I would want things. And I would spend money needlessly, which is one of the things I'm so grateful that I have corrected. But being straddling, and I think this is what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about people with one foot in the kingdom and one foot out, right? Can you really get rid of the world? It's not easy. It is not easy to do that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world only offers a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything. We see and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." And that's a powerful statement, right? Literally, there is so much scripture to back this up. And you have to take a step back. I know people trapped in the material world. It's money, 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 right? Like, it's always money. And I was there too. And I got offered, and this was about a week ago, I got offered a job that was $2,000 a week as a nurse. It's a travel job, but that's still a lot of money. Short term, it would solve all my issues, right? Like, I would catch up. But I know that God doesn't want me to travel. I know that God doesn't want me in the hospitals anymore. I'm not sure why, but I know that for a fact. And I got offered this right at the point where I was like, you know what? I am going to trust God. And then this happened, and I was like, wow. And I'm not going to lie, I figured out how much money it would be total. It was $26,000 in 3 months. And I was like, I could do so much with that. But then I remembered Jesus sitting in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan offering him the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus said no. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be happy with what I have. I have opportunities here. I have a job that I know was given to me by God. And I'm going to be happy with that. And I am going to trust in the Lord to get me through these times. And He always has. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've gotten a check that I forgot about or gotten a client when I needed money. God has always been there for me, and it is time for me to start trusting Him the way that He trusts me over and over and over. And the funny thing is, the day after this, that I said, no, I am going to appreciate what I have, I had one of the most intense revelations during meditation that I've ever had. I believe in order to embrace the things of heaven, the things of God, that we must walk away from the world. And that means all of the stuff, right? All of the stuff. So here's my question for you. Can you fully walk away from the things of the world and trust God to provide? It's easy to say. And it's easy to trust God in the good times, right? Like, because you have everything. You have blessings beyond your measure. You are able to pay all your bills and all of that. But what about when you don't get the job that's not meant for you? Or when your mortgage is late? How about when it's a slow week and you're hungry? Or how about when your children are hungry? Are you still going to trust God in those times to feed you, to provide your daily manna, right? Like the Israelites in the desert. Are you going to trust God, truly trust Him to take care of your needs? Because God doesn't take temptation out of your life. He fortifies you through it. In order to leave the things of this world, you have to be able to say no when they are presented to you. This is a test of faith. This never leaves you. The strongest men of faith were not excused from temptation. They were fortified because of it. Jesus faced temptation in the desert where He was offered the things of the world. He was offered to turn stones into bread. Man does not live by bread alone. He was offered to throw Himself off and save Himself, right? If He is truly the Son of God, He could throw Himself off the cliff and save Himself. He was offered finally all the kingdoms of the world, which is ironic because that's exactly what He got when He died for our sins. He was offered all the kingdoms of the world, and He said no. He faced His temptation and got through it, and He left the world behind. And this is what He said for the breads and the stone. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, don't tempt Him to let you fall. Jesus said to Him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. If Jesus was tempted with the sin, with the world, why would we not be tempted as well? It's a walk of faith, and I'm convinced of that. The truth is, we are tempted every day. We live in the richest country on the planet where the homeless population is over 700,000 as of 2024. 47 million people are hungry. And our population is 340 million plus, which leaves more than 290 million people able to go on about their lives without paying attention. Are you paying attention? Are you awake? Do you recognize the fact that we are ignoring massive amounts of people, that the richest people in this country could solve hunger? And they say, but that's not our problem. We worked hard. Yes, you did. And because you worked hard and because you're rich, it is more difficult for you to get into the kingdom of heaven. You have to give back to your communities. Not only does materialism blind you to God's word, it blinds you to the struggle that others are facing. So what do you do in these times, right? Like, it's difficult. We are faced with massive amounts of advertising, probably subliminal messages. We know that our food is addicted. Our French fries at McDonald's have like 17 ingredients, and one of them is sugar. Sugar is the most addictive substance on the face of the planet, right? So we have all these temptations and all of these things from the material world that are constantly battling our brain. And when our brain is there, it is not focused on God. Keep your eyes on God, and your whole body will be full of light. And you will begin to see the deception of the world. And I can't guarantee that this will happen overnight, because it won't. It takes time. I've been on this journey for 9 months of getting rid of my stuff and simplifying my life and trying to get to a place with God that I know is what God wants. But you have to take the first step. You have to say no to the first thing, because that's where it starts. Move on. Don't get stuck straddling the two worlds, because your treasures are in heaven. And that is the most important place for you to focus on, is the kingdom of God, right? So my advice is to detach yourself from the materialism of the world in every way that you can, every way that you can. I would highly recommend that you go through your belongings and give them to people that need them, because you don't use everything in your house, I guarantee it. You don't need 15 shirts that you never wear. Somebody would die to have that. Support your local food banks. Help people in need. Focus truly on God, because that is the only way that you are going to get through this, right? If we do not focus completely on God, we will simply not find the kingdom of heaven. 144,000 is a small number comparatively. There are like, billions of people in the world at this point. I mean, China's like 3 billion people or something. It's, or 1 billion. I think they're 1.3 billion. Recognize the things that are not of God and let the things of the world go. And even though God created everything, it doesn't mean everything has been created for your good. God turns all things to your good when your eyes are focused on Him. But the world has created its own stuff, almost in opposition to God. And I highly suspect that materialism is one of those things, right? We're so focused on buy, 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 money, 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 that we have taken our eyes off God. And that is a scary, scary place to be. It's not a place I want to be. And it's, you know, I talked about this earlier too, about the materialism of the world and how difficult it is to detach. And it is, one of the hardest things I ever had to do was stop buying stuff. And I know that sounds crazy comparatively. It'd be people struggle with drugs, and I pray for them all the time. But stopping the materialism thing was so difficult. I had an easier time fasting than I did stopping shopping, right? Like, fasting for me now is something I do at least once a week and sometimes more. I just finished the Daniel fast successfully, and that was amazing. And I got so much insight during this fast, which is what I prayed for. And it was truly a gift from God to be able to do that. I will do another one eventually. I'm kind of taking a minute off from fasting. I did fast for the Sabbath. I always fast for the Sabbath, but I did take some time off from like the no meat, no butter. I love butter. I just love butter. I miss butter the most. I actually was fine without the meat. It was the butter that killed me and the cheese, right? Like, I wanted butter and cheese the whole time. But it was such a wonderful thing to be able to connect with God in that way. And I'm super grateful for it, because the revelation that I got during that fast was incredible. You should try it, right? First, declutter your life, and then do a fast, and you'll be shocked at what comes to you. Because the kingdom of God is inside you, right? Like, it is miraculous. It's the only way I can describe it. But anyway, guys, that's it for this week's show. I really have enjoyed growing. I'm trying to get better at my sermons and trying to get, I mean, they're not really sermons. They're more like talking points. But I'm trying to get better at organizing them. It's difficult because I do not have a degree in theology, so I only know what I know, and that's what God told me to talk about, right? To talk about what I know, and these are the areas that I feel confident in, and that's what I discuss. And so thank you for all the loves and the likes on the Facebook channel. I really appreciate it, and God bless all of you. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for your presence today while I talk about the downfalls of materialism in our lives. Help those that are struggling with shopping and credit card debt and unable to break free of that cycle, to finally break free and truly join you in the kingdom of heaven. Help them see the downfalls of this world and how we're straddling both sides and constantly doing this balancing act instead of standing fully in the light of God. Help them declutter their lives and step away from what the world offers us. We love everything about you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.